Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native Deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. It's promo code GHOST at nativedeodorant.com. Get 20% off your first purchase.
It's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. What happens when you're in charge of remodeling a historic Bourbon Street-style bar? What if the spirits of the past want to keep the setting the same? Do you respect their wishes or continue moving forward? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Keep our show on the air by becoming an extra podcast person. And in exchange, you'll get more than just a thank you. You will get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost 300 of them now. You get advanced episodes of the show, ad-free, and a whole bunch of other extras all throughout the year. Just go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there. It's only $5 a month. Get all those extras. And, or Patreon, if you like Patreon, that app there. Patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up through that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you this fine day. And how are you today, Carol?
Well, Tony, I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad that you are doing just fine this evening.
I'm doing fine. And there was, you know, all these podcasts, like we record them a couple weeks before they air. But somebody posted there, you have a Real Ghost Stories Online group.
Yeah.
And somebody posted a post today that's kind of creepy and cool at the same time.
Okay, what was it?
But I don't know if you saw it, but you could pull it up.
I will.
It was a woman posted this, and then somebody shared it to the group. But there, her and her mom are watching TV, and their Nest video in the house went off, and that said there was someone in the house. And so they took the pictures, and she had a brother that died. And she's like, it looks like my brother. Ooh. And you look at the pictures. So you'll have to scroll back when people hear this.
Yeah.
Go to the group and scroll back. But it's pretty good. The pictures are kind of, they kind of gave me the goosebumps.
Is this like the first thing that Vivi?
Yeah.
Vivi posted it? Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing it right now. Oh, yeah, that is creepy.
Yeah, right? And so I went to the girl's real page who posted it, and she seems legit. Like, when you read it,
yeah,
you know how you and I have talked before about how someone shares a story that you're like, I don't know about that one.
Sure.
And then somebody else shares a story, and like, you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's the way this comes across. Like, she even included a picture of her and her brother. And on her page, it's like, you know, don't go hating on me. I'm just sharing this. But
yeah,
there's the one picture that really looks like something.
I want to reach out to her and talk. I'm going to send her a message to the original poster of this, because I'm curious as to...
It's fascinating to me.
I didn't read the story.
You see a lot of things that people post. You know, you see it all over the place online. You know, so on Facebook, somebody shares something randomly, like, look at this creepy thing. And then it's like, yeah, there could be some explanations. And of course, there could be for this too. But if they're in watching TV together, they're in the house alone, and the nest goes off, and there's someone in the house, and then they pull up that.
I have sitting like 5 feet away from me. I have some of those cameras and I have to install them. I've not done so yet. I should show Jen this and then see what she thinks about installing all the Nest cameras.
She'll be like, absolutely not. Like,
no, just in case. Cause she, true story. She was a bit paranoid with having a baby monitor with Harp, because I got a video one for Harp when she was a baby, and she did not like that idea, because she was kind of concerned that she was going to see something or something like that in the middle of the night on the monitor.
But I get that,
but no ghosts,
because you've seen those pictures that people post. Yeah. And things people post, and I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Or the baby getting up and just kind of talking to someone that's not there. And mm-hmm. Yeah,
or there's a voice that should not be in that room.
Yeah. Yeah, that would. And the thing is, if that happens once, you're not going to sleep again. It's going to take weeks to like be completely fine and like not thinking that, just waiting for that voice or thinking you're going to
exactly
hear the
because
voice.
The baby would be in your room at that point.
Exactly.
The baby would be sleeping in your room until he's like 12.
Thing is, Harper would have been like she would have figured this out, and she would have just started talking to the wall, and then like would have like, what's, who are you talking to? Talking with mommy. You know, that's what it would have been like.
That's what I'm doing. Harper would have gotten out her best, like, I'm talking to mommy voice.
Just, yeah, she used to, before she could really speak in full sentences, I taught her to go, no Hopper, only Zool.
That is so wrong.
She would do that on command at like 1.5. It was great.
Oh, my God. I say this all the time, but she is so your child.
She is. Yeah, she's hilarious. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, back in the 70s in a small town called Leesville in Louisiana, I worked in an old brick building. It was a bar and a disco. It had a huge ornate wooden bar rack that came from Bourbon Street in New Orleans. We were remodeling the old place for a week, and the place was shut down during this time. The bar had been open and closed many times over the years, and it was run down. We decided to give it an upgrade. The building was rat-infested, and many times during business hours, rats would run across the top of the back bar. Drunks would see them and try to tell others what they saw, and people would laugh at them and tell them they were drinking too much. One night, I was painting the ceiling on a ladder at about 3:30 in the morning. No one was in the building except the owner, who was sleeping in the far room of the building, about 60 feet away from me. While I was painting, the hair on the back of my neck started to tingle. I looked to my right and saw an old woman with glasses and an old funny green hat, wearing an old coat with an old-time brooch on it. I was startled and told the woman we were closed. She just smiled and did not answer me. I climbed off the ladder and went towards her. She just faded away. I looked all over the back storage room, but the back door was padlocked, so no one could enter. I shook my head and told myself I'd been working way too long. I went back to painting, but a few minutes later, I got the same tingling on the back of my neck, and sure enough, she was there again. I jumped off the ladder and ran back to talk to her, but again,
She was gone. I checked the freezers and behind the beer cases, and no one was there. I didn't feel threatened, but I was shaken by the image. Again, I went back to painting. After about 10 minutes or so, my friend Kim, the owner, woke up and came down to check on my progress. She looked at me and asked me who the old lady was in the storage room. Just about fell off the ladder. I ran back to the storage room, but again, no one was there. The next week when we opened, I told the story to 4 or 5 guys about the incident. They all laughed and said I was just working too hard and the paint was messing with me. One guy did not laugh. He said he'd be right back. He brought me a Polaroid picture dated from the 60s. He asked me if that was the woman that I saw. I said yes. It was the lady with the funny hat and old coat, wearing glasses and old-time brooch on her coat. He told me it was his mother. She worked there for years back in the 50s and 60s. She helped bring the bar back, all the way up from New Orleans. I asked him to ask her why she was in the bar last week when it was closed. He told me she died in 1970. All the guys sitting at the bar stopped laughing. I did not come to this town until 1975, yet I was able to describe his mother to him. The story, I'll never forget. I still tell it around every Halloween. When people tell me there's no afterlife, I just smile and remember that awesome night. We'd moved the bar back from one wall and moved it to another. It released her spirit, I guess, but the lady was smiling, so I guess she was happy. We were making the place better. For 17 years, it was the best bar in town. Bar that I will never forget. There you go. Old barkeep.
Wouldn't it be weird to have somebody see your parent as a ghost?
I think that would be odd. And I think it would bring up a lot of emotions of like, can you talk to her? Can you give her a message? Did she have a message? Yeah. All of that stuff. When she's just hanging out.
And why did you see her and I didn't? Like, if she's going to come around, why wouldn't she come see me?
Yeah.
That would be kind of creepy. Yeah. That would be unsettling to me.
You have to think with this, it was probably something to do with the remodel. You hear about that a lot. And luckily she was in a good mood, in good spirits, pardon the pun, and didn't really, you know, have issues. She wasn't there to freak anyone out or throw bottles. I think she was probably just as happy to see that someone else had now begun to take up the reins of the bar to revive it the same way that she once had.
But wouldn't you get a feeling of like, man, I thought she was so dead, and what? Like, obviously she's not, so she's not at peace. Like, wouldn't you have some feelings like that?
I think
like,
it probably...
what's she doing up and about?
I think
I don't know.
It probably is what you believe happens to you when you die. If your assumption is that when you're dead, you're gone, and you're not going to haunt the earth, and you are in heaven or hell or whatever you want to believe. But if your belief system is more so, when we die, I think we may hang out here for a while, or maybe never leave here, and we just still do things around the earth, then I don't think it would be as shocking. I think it all just kind of comes from the standpoint of where you're at currently with your beliefs.
Yeah. But I just think it would be weird out of the blue, like somebody saying, yeah, I saw, you know, this guy. And then he describes my dad.
Yeah, that would be odd.
And I'd be like, here's a picture. What did he look like? That's him. My dad was haunting you. Like, what the?
It's like, why? I mean, you have what is he doing?
Like, my dad liked this bar a lot, but man.
I didn't know he liked it that much. Yeah.
It was dead.
Apparently not.
That is just weird to me. Like, it's one thing for it to be a ghost and he saw the woman, but it's, I don't know, it just puts a whole different twist on it where it's some guy's mom.
Well, you got to think.
Not,
I mean,
just a ghost.
They just happened to be able to connect the dots there that day because the other individual was there. More so than not, people are seeing other people's dead parents all the time. They're just not really connecting the dots as to whose parents these are.
I guess so.
You know, it just depends how far back it is that it goes. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, were you aware that a lot of deodorants out there, the conventional ones that are on a lot of store shelves, they contain a lot of stuff you probably don't want to be putting on your body?
aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands. Yeah. And it does that to keep you from sweating. Not exactly the best way of handling the situation. Native deodorant is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting in your body. Yes, like not putting aluminum in your body. That's, yeah, it's just, when you think about this, it makes me just shiver for all of the years, you know, that you do these things. But, you know, thank goodness for innovation and technology and science of discovering, maybe we should try it this way. Native deodorant. I love these guys. It's safe. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. It's filled with ingredients you may have heard of or know. Yes, it's not crazy things like coconut oil, shea butter. You wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand what exactly you're rubbing on your body? Of course, the best thing about it is it works. It's not one of those things where, oh, that's great. You're changing this up of what I've used for the last 20 years, but does it work? Yes, it works. It works wonderfully. Make the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Not at all, okay? Native will keep you smelling fresh and feeling fresh all day long. There's no sacrifice here. So you get all of the consistency that you're used to. And you also get the peace of mind knowing that what you're rubbing on your body is not harmful. Okay, so there you go. Great scents, too. They have so many scents that are miles beyond what you may be used to. Coconut and vanilla, that's their most popular. Lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, eucalyptus and mint. Check them out for yourself. And right now, you guys, since you listen to the program, they have a great offer for you. 20% off. For 20% off your first purchase, just visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. Yes. 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I got to get my chalkboard back up in here and put phone numbers on it because I've been mixing up this phone number with Office Horror Stories, and I need my numbers in front of me. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey guys, hey Tony, Jenny, and Carol. This is a story of some of my paranormal experiences. To start off, I live in a small town in Arkansas that has a very bloody history. There were Civil War camps in my town, and several skirmishes happened in the area. Before the Civil War, there were Native Americans that lived in my area. Bones, teeth, and relics have been found from long ago, dating back to the Native Americans. There are shadow people who live and travel through the town. My first paranormal experience starts off when I was about 4 years old when I was staying at my grandma's house. I was getting ready to go to sleep at my grandma's room when I looked over towards her closet. I saw an apparition standing in front of the closet door. Saw a man looking at me. He was kind of translucent and was wearing a military outfit. At the time, I wasn't scared, just bewildered at what I had seen. Come to find out, I had seen my uncle who had died in the Vietnam War. I feel like he was there to watch over me. It's so odd to me thinking back on this experience because seeing a full-bodied apparition is such a rare experience that most people never have. It's one of my first memories, and to this day, I can still see it in my head as clear as if it happened yesterday. Moving on to the shadow people that roam the area. The first time I witnessed a shadow person was in my late teens. I'd walked into the front door of my house and saw a shadow moving in my room. I thought it was one of my friends, who I was expecting to come over, so I barged into my room saying, "Hey!" to see that there was no one there. My whole life growing up in this house, I'd always seen shadows out of the corner of my eye and felt I was being watched. I'd also feel the sensation of something being right behind me, almost chasing me, when I'd walk out of a dark room at night. I didn't realize that it wasn't a normal thing to experience until I moved out and didn't get that feeling anymore in my new house. Fast forward to before my mom sold our house. She woke up at 5:30 one morning. She said she saw a black mass of a figure standing over her. Her cats on her bed were growling with their hackles up. She said she sat up bolt right in her bed and said, "Get the fuck out of my house," and the shadow dissolved. Mom is a brave and fearless person and not one to be taken advantage of. As we cleaned and packed to get her house ready for the new owners, things got creepier and creepier. It seemed the more of our belongings we moved out, the more
whatever resided in the house had a strong hold. The day before we closed on our house, I and some friends were swimming in the pool. My friend had brought her two boys with her to swim as well. Being curious little boys, I asked if they could run around in the empty house, and my friend said, "Sure, whatever, just don't make a mess." So the boys went to explore the barren house, and after about 5 minutes, her youngest ran outside, white in the face, and asked, "Who just slammed that door?" I asked, "What do you mean? No one else was inside besides you and your brother." He said, "We were inside, and the front door opened and slammed shut, but no one was there." I went inside to investigate, all the while knowing he had witnessed something paranormal from the shakiness in his voice and what I had seen as a child. And sure enough, the front door was closed and locked. I told him not to be afraid and not to worry about it. And sometimes things like that happen. He said, "I feel sorry for whoever has to live here." As a note, we did not disclose that the house was haunted by the new buyers because they were very rude to us about the time frame of moving out. They went as far as to talk smack about my mom and me to the realtor about us getting out before the day that was agreed upon for us to have everything out. We lived in a very big two-story house with over 20 years worth of belongings to move out and sell. Call it karma, I guess. Thank you for your podcast. It's good to have a place to get all these stories out. Love y'all. There you go.
Man, that'll show you. You be an asshole. I'm not going to tell you the house is haunted.
Haunted as shit. But what would you say? I wouldn't want to tell somebody that just because moving and selling a house is already a very, you know, kind of needles and pins proposition and shit can hit the fan at the very last minute. The last thing I think you want is to say, "Oh, by the way, it's haunted." And then they can go, "I'm going to back out of closing. Here's your earnest money back of $1,000. Sorry."
And here's the thing. If somebody comes and looks at a house like that and doesn't pick up on it.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
You know, because I think like the other day we have a neighborhood that's got really old homes in it here. And I was driving through there and there was a house they're working on and it's for sale. And I thought, I don't know, like I've never been in the house, but just driving by it, I'm assuming it's gorgeous on the inside. But I don't know that I could live in that house.
Sure.
Just by driving past it.
You got the vibe.
When you buy those old houses, you got to know.
And
there's a possibility.
And that's the thing. If you're not, I truly believe there are houses that are haunted as shit. But to some people, they will never be affected by it. And that's not to say that the ghost will not make themselves evident. But some will just write it off as this or that. Unless it gets like so extreme, your walls are bleeding and, you know, you're being attacked at night. Some things you can't write off, but I think your average normal haunting that does its fair work of, well, most people would pick up on this. Sensitive people surely will. Some folks will still be in denial about what's going on.
Yeah.
So
I don't think I'd feel that bad, especially since they were assholes about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that said, if my children wanted to run into the house and explore, I'd be like, absolutely not, kids. You're not going in there by yourselves.
Yeah.
Because they're kids, and I think they can pick up on that stuff.
I completely agree. It makes you wonder about houses like one of the most famous, the Amityville house. That house, not only does it have a huge ghost story attached to it, but it has a huge tragedy story attached to it.
Right.
The huge
now,
murder.
I think that if there's a murder house,
yeah.
I think you do have to disclose that.
They do, and you do have
maybe
to disclose
maybe not every state.
It is. It's every state you have to disclose murder. But the thing is, even without a ghost story, I think just the energy of that, all those, the death and the sudden death, the murder that went out of that house, that would be enough to make you go, no, I can't do this, you know?
There is that new series. I can't remember what it's on, but it's like Murder House Renovation.
Somebody posted that, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good because not only is it like they're renovating the murder house, but they tell the story of the house.
Yeah.
So I think it could be a really interesting show.
I think it could be too. It just depends how it's done. I want to give it a shot and check it out once. What's your opinion on haunted houses that have a very famous storied history behind it, and then it becoming kind of like a tourist attraction? I think Amityville would be kind of dark because there was murders in it. I think that's almost kind of wrong because the murders were not that long ago in the big scheme of things. We're not talking like Lizzie Borden 100 years ago. We're talking the 1970s with that case. But
now, that said, I would totally go to the Lizzie Borden house.
Sure. But would you
absolutely go there?
Would you go and stay at the Conjuring house?
Oh, God, no. You mean stay there?
There's new owners
I
now.
I might do a tour during the day.
Yeah, I don't know that you can stay there.
Tour escort.
Yeah, I don't know that you can stay there, but they are doing investigations.
No. I've seen that, like, basically haunted Airbnb sort of ideas. I'm like, absolutely not. No. Couldn't pay me to do that. But I do love history, so I love touring old mansions, and most old mansions have some kind of dark history at some point.
Sure. Yeah, we know your track record of staying in haunted hotels.
I just don't do well.
Usually ends up at a Best Western down the road.
I will leave. And I will spend the extra money just so I can sleep.
Yeah. I just wonder, I'm curious about the Conjuring house. I've been trying to get in contact with Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the house, who was part of that story. She's been on the show several times, and it was just on an episode of, I believe, Kindred Spirits on one of the networks, where they brought the whole family back into the house. I don't watch ghost shows, but I did DVR that one, and I want to check it. I've not watched it yet.
I didn't know about that show. I want to watch that.
I want to check that one out, because I normally don't watch anything. I mean, I unless somebody's like, you have to check out this, and I usually just watch like a clip or something. I don't know why I don't. You would think I would be like up on all that, but I don't know. Maybe it's just like, because I do this, it's like you don't listen to other.
It's like I'd really rather watch Schitt's Creek.
I know. It's like it's kind of my off time, so I don't watch ghost shows then. But I'd be curious to see what that was like, and I want to talk with her about what it was like to go back to that house with her family, and kind of get a perspective on that. It's been about a year or two.
Yeah, that's
since
what
I
think
is
fascinating.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting.
I would love to hear that story.
We're going to have some investigators on the Grave Talks here in the coming weeks or months that are doing their own investigations at the Conjuring House. So I'm interested to hear how that all goes, but hopefully we can get Andrea on here again soon and have a conversation about what that was all like. That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Courtney calling from Maryland. Just calling to tell you my story. A few weeks ago, my fiancé and I were going to Gettysburg for Labor Day weekend. So we were going this Sunday into the Sunday night to Monday morning. So I booked this cute little inn near the main circle. Very historical building, had a nice little history to it, so I figured it'd be perfect for us. After I booked it about a month and a half in advance, and after I booked it, I started just, doing a little research, looking at it, and looking at some of the reviews, and a lot of people were talking about paranormal activity, which we both believe, and we thought it was really neat. So I was just kind of telling them a few of the stories, like, there's supposed to be a ghost cat. The house was built in the 1800s. It was actually a field hospital for the battle in Gettysburg. So it was, a lot of history there. So the day that we're driving in, and we decided to go to town a little bit early and hang out before we could check in at 3 o'clock. So we're just getting ready to pull into Gettysburg. About noonish, and the innkeeper called me, and she was just asking what time we thought we were going to be there. And I told her, we're just pulling into town now. We could be there probably about 15, 20 minutes. She was like, oh yeah, perfect. You guys can check in early. She gave us like parking directions, very short, brief call, and we hung up. And I have Bluetooth on my car, so it like rings over the radio when I have an incoming call. So we're driving. About 2 minutes later, the same number called me back because it's a different area code than ours. So I knew it was like, you know, had to have been her again. So I was like, oh, okay. So I answered it and there was no one there. It was just this weird like feedback noise, which I've never heard before. So my fiance says, okay, that's probably just car feedback. And I'm saying hello pretty loud in case it's like some sort of pocket dial. Probably about 3 or 4 seconds. And then I'm like, okay, just hung up and didn't think much of it. So we're driving. About a couple minutes later, the number's calling again. So we answered it. And I'm yelling hello a little bit louder now because I'm like, this has got to be a pocket dial or something funky with the phone. It's the same weird feedback electronic noise. And he's like, yeah, that's weird. Your Bluetooth is giving feedback. And I said, no, it really never does that. Like, I've had phone calls with silence, you know, with like pauses, and you don't hear that. Anyway, we hung up. Probably about 7 or so minutes later, calls back again. Same scenario. I'm saying hello, no one's there, feedback. So I'm joking with him and I said, hey, that's probably the ghost calling us. And he's like, yeah, right, they don't do that. I said, well, actually, I've read stories in the past where ghosts, you know, can communicate electrical, you know, through electrical appliances and whatnot. And when they do, it's usually like a feedback noise. And he's like, okay, whatever. I'm like, all right, fine. So we get there, and it's a very, you know, it's a small inn. I think there's like 7 rooms total. And it was, a Sunday night. You know, Monday was the holiday, but it was not fully booked, which now I find out that's very uncommon. It's always booked on the weekends there. But I guess because the holiday weekend or whatever. So we get there, and it's just us and the innkeeper and the whole building. So she shows us to our room and she tells us like, you know, you can go. So I was like, oh, you guys are haunted, huh? She's like, well, yeah, we have the ghost cat and, you know, you can go through the rooms and read the books and people, they have like little books that people write in and they can put their stories and experiences or whatever there. And I was like, that's cool. So she brings us up to our room on the second floor. I put my purse and everything on the bed. And I was like, oh, by the way, I don't know if there's something wrong with your phone, but it keeps calling us. So I don't know if it's like stuck on a loop of pocket dial or something weird, but I just wanted to let you know. And she just gives me this look. She's like, oh my goodness, we're haunted, but this is this is the first for this one. And I was like, oh, you don't think it's something with your phone? No, I'll go downstairs and check, but I don't really think it could be. So she comes back up. She's like, yeah, the phone's fine. So about a few minutes later, I'm at the end of the hall at a different room. She's, you know, making that room up, and I'm just talking to her about, like, Gettysburg, you know. She's very informative and talkative. And I had a, I have a Fitbit that does the phone notifications. So while we're talking, and my fiancé is next to me, we're the only people in the whole house, the number's calling me again. So I showed her my watch because you can see the caller ID. I said, look, you're calling me again. And she just kind of rolled her eyes and was like, goodness, this is crazy. Like, didn't really faze her, but she just thought it was funny. So I was like, okay, that's weird. And so then she was like, you guys can just walk around, look wherever. So we went downstairs, look in there. And we go to the little office, and there was the phone that she was using. It was a flip phone, so there's absolutely, and it was closed, there's really no way you can pocket dial. A little later, when I go back to my phone, I see that there's a voicemail, and I had a 17-second voicemail from the same noise, but it wasn't just one straight electronic feedback noise. You could hear something in the middle, And then at the end, you can clearly hear something hang up. But again, we were literally the only three people in the whole building at the time that the call came through. So it was really interesting. There were no other events or anything that weekend, but to be honest, I was so freaked out. I really did not want to experience anything else. But we do plan on going back, so I'll definitely let you know if anything else comes up. And Gettysburg is a really awesome place to visit. So thanks so much for the podcast. You guys are awesome. And thanks for letting me tell my story. Bye.
Quite the experience.
And as we both know, I would have been staying in a Best Western. You know, Gettysburg is like on my bucket list of places to visit.
Yeah.
Because I do love history, but I don't think I could stay like we were just talking about. I don't know that I could stay in a place like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much that's going on. And yeah. How do you can't like, you can't turn it off. There's no like.
How do you explain that? Like, this is the phone that is calling you. I don't get how a phone could just, especially a flip phone, could just be auto dialing. Like, I get how you do it when it's in your pocket, but if it's just there, and once or twice,
yeah,
a pocket dial, but not repeatedly. And then they're in the building and it's calling her.
I think phones are being used more and more by ghosts to manipulate or to communicate in some way, shape, or form with the living. So we're hearing more and more stories about it. I have weird things that happen every now and then with my phone. This is the first time I'm talking about this on the air. Because I've been kind of like, it's kind of weird. But this one kind of got me the other day. It was last Thursday when she was talking about phone stuff. It jogged my memory. And I just looked at my call logs. I'm like, what day was this? And I was about to do an interview with someone. And these things seem to happen with certain people that I do interviews with. Typically, if the content is kind of dark, kind of on the, you know, demonic side or whatever you want to call it, where it gets, you know, a little, you know, uberly spooky. My phone will act up. And right as I'm trying to connect with the person through Skype, because that's how we do a lot of our interviews, my phone just starts ringing twice in a row. First call is from a number, and the first three digits, 666.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever gotten a call from a 666. I don't even know if that's a valid number, quite honestly. I don't think there's any place that has that as their, maybe they do, I don't know. But it was bizarre. I just let it go to voicemail because I had to keep going on with my show, but I was really kind of curious as to what the hell I was going to hear, but I never answered. So no voicemails left. Less than 10 seconds later, it rings again. And it's just from like a scrambled number, like a 00000 something. So I don't know
which is also weird.
Which is also extremely weird. And I mean, I get telemarketer calls.
I've never had that happen.
No, it's usually like some sort of, I don't know what it would be. Because telemarketers will say, you know, no caller ID or whatever. There'll be something of that nature. But it's weird to get things from numbers that don't seem to make a lot of sense. Like the 666 number did not... I don't think it's a real number. I still have it. I'm kind of curious. Maybe I should just call it and see where it goes. Like,
but do you want to know who answers?
Call it. Be like, hello. Like, hi. Hey, who's this? Oh, this is Satan. How are you? Oh, hey, Satan. It's Tony.
Hey, you called me.
Yeah.
Which is really creepy.
He's like, just checking in, just seeing how they're doing, talking about me on your show. Oh, it's doing really good. You want to be a guest sometime? Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, well, we'll arrange that.
You got my number.
What's your Facebook page? We'll communicate on Facebook, Satan. Thanks. Yeah. just very nonchalant call with Lucifer. But yeah, it was kind of creepy just knowing the interview I was about to do and then boom, 666 on my phone. It's weird.
Yeah, that's creepy.
It is creepy. I run into that a lot. I don't know if it's just because I'm more aware because my life now revolves around ghost stories. But I swear to God, I see the number 666 more frequently than I used to. since doing this show.
I've never had any phone call like that.
I see it all sorts of places. It runs up weird places all the time for me. Like, I'll be checking my bank statement, and like the last three digits will be like 6.66. Just all sorts. I mean, at least once a week, I'm coming across it in a strange place. And it's just like, wow, that's, I don't know. It comes up more frequently than it should. And I'm not keeping tally of every numerical order that I run across throughout my life, but that one certainly does stand out. And I feel like it comes across to me now more frequently than it did prior to doing these shows. I don't feel like I have anything else going on in my life that's pressing or, you know, that's bad, but I do notice.
So I'm going to tell you what, if that starts happening to me, I'm going to quit.
You like, can't quit.
Ain't worth the shit. Sorry, Tony.
You're just gonna notice it now.
666, 3 days in a row.
Doesn't matter. Nothing else happens. It's just kind of fun. You play a game. 666.
Yeah, until Satan calls.
And then you find out he's really a nice guy, and you're like, I've had you wrong all these years. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that is going to wrap up the program for today. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. All you got to do is go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month. Sign up and get all the bonus content right there for you instantly. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.